West Virginia primaries last night. And the Nebraska primaries last night. Huge. And you want to know why it was huge? Let me explain to you guys why it was huge. And why this Never Trump movement. Okay? And again, if you're watching video, I did the air quotes. So if you, you know. Movement. There's no movement. Okay? There is no movement. You want to know what the Never Trump morons are? You know what they are? They're the CNN pundits. They're the Fox pundits. They're the MSNBC pundits. That's what they are. They're the Republican writers, okay, that are in the Wall Street Journal and New York Times. That's the movement, okay? It is. That's the movement. There's no millions of people. And you want to know how you can tell? Let me explain. You had someone like Glenn Beck, that nut job, and he's on his talk show to the Valley, and I'm able to listen to big segments of Beck and Levin and Medved. So, take a guy like Beck. He has a interview with Rafael Cruz. Okay. And him and Rafael Cruz are going back and forth about, is there a path to the nomination? Is there a path to winning? If there was a path, then he could jump back in the race. And they start talking about Nebraska. They start talking about Nebraska. Because remember, Nebraska was 100% for Cruz. The whole narrative was Cruz wins Indiana, and then West Virginia would be tight. Then Nebraska would be another win because all the polls showed that he was up by a good margin in Nebraska, and then it would move on to Oregon and so forth and so on and end in California. So Beck and Cruz are talking about the path. And so at the end of this this interview, whatever you want to call it, Beck and his little trolls, his little disciples in his cult there, basically tell their audience. And remember, Glenn Beck says he's got millions of listeners, that if they vote for Cruz in Nebraska, he's going to get back in the race. So that's the premise. Now, you got Beck touting all of these conservatives that feel left out. They feel abandoned. You have Levin and Dana Loesch and this whole Never Trump crew talking about people being upset and outraged and never, ever voting for Trump. So, one would assume, right? One would assume from all of these people talking, all of these people riling their listeners up, this big movement would come out in droves and reject Trump. Remember the other narrative that the Karl Roves and the Krautheimers and the other political geniuses that are out there would say. While Trump is winning with 40%, that means 60% of the Republican electorate is rejecting him. When Trump is winning at 38%, that means over 60% of the Republican voting electorate is rejecting him. And it wasn't until recent that Trump hit 60%. And let's face it, it was in his own home state. It was in the East where he should do good. And even with 60%, that's 40% of the Republican electorate that's rejecting him. He's not a strong candidate. That's the narrative, remember? Okay. Well, yesterday was the, it was the opportunity for the Never Trump, I am so disgusted by him, people to show their disdain. Do you understand that? And what happened? What happened? In West Virginia, Donald Trump won with 76.9%. Ted Cruz got 9% with 17,000 votes. And John Kasich got 6% with 13,000 votes. So what does that mean? What does that mean? This was the moment, was the time for people to really send a statement. For the Never Trump movement and the I'll never, ever, ever get behind somebody that says these crazy things, that does these crazy things. I will not. Well, apparently, a lot of people abandon that, I guess, Never Trump philosophy. I mean, this was the time. This was the time to show the entire country that legitimately 40% of the Republican electorate does not want anything to do with Trump. This was the time. This was the time. And it didn't happen. It didn't happen. You had people that voted for Cruz who were die-hard Cruz supporters. You had people that voted for Cruz. Some absentee ballot. So Cruz is in the race as far as they were concerned when they casted the vote. Others are just die-hard Cruz supporters. And we talked about this before when the whole Cruz and Kasich and Hugh Hewitt strategy of, well, vote for this person here and then vote for that person there and you'll get this person out and this whole strategic voting. And we talked about how that politics is about passion. Picking a candidate, getting behind a candidate, giving money to a candidate, putting a sign in your yard for a candidate. You have to be connected to that person. You have to, it's like a sports team. It's like a sports team. It's passion. That's passion, man. And to go, well, I'm not going to vote for my person here. I'm going to strategically vote for this person. And then on the if come, my person will swing around through the back. Please. Please. It doesn't work. That's gimmickry. And gimmickry hardly works in sports settings in real life. And it definitely doesn't work in politics. When you're dealing with emotion and you're dealing with personality and you're dealing with passion and you're dealing with money and just. So what you saw in West Virginia was a very teeny tiny segment of people that didn't vote for Trump. A teeny tiny segment. A teeny tiny segment. And if there was really this Never Trump movement, if there was really this disdain, this horrible taste in people's mouths for Trump and the Dana Loesches and the Mark Levins and the Glenn Becks had this power and had these millions and millions of people that listened to them and hung on every word they had to say. It would have been a different outcome in West Virginia. There'd be millions and millions and millions of people starting with West Virginia moving forward because there's still states that are voting, including California. That would be saying, under no circumstances will I vote for Trump? As you've heard some of these Never Trump people, the Kevin Maddens and the Ben Sasses, I'll just do a write-in. Bill Kristol, I'll just do a write-in. Well, in West Virginia, nobody did a write-in. Well, they could have, we just didn't know. We didn't know because it didn't make a difference. You had Trump winning over 75% of the vote. And then you move on to Nebraska. Move on to Nebraska. which was for Cruz. It was for Cruz. Cruz was winning Nebraska. Cruz was set to win Nebraska. And Trump wound up winning over 62% of the vote in Nebraska. That means the diehard Cruz fans, the diehard Cruz supporters, the people that like listening to whatever he is, switch sides. They switch sides. The only people that were left were Cruz bots. And if you add the Cruz bots with Kasich, it still didn't equal a Never Trump movement. If you doubled it up, it was still less than Trump. Again, the millions and millions and millions of people that listened to Levin and Dana LaWeish and all of these Trump haters would have had their people in Nebraska. Hell, Glenn Beck told everybody, Ted wins Nebraska, he's back in the race. That was reported on every single website, every single TV program. I mean, Glenn Beck got more airtime yesterday than he ever has in his history since he was with Fox. Everybody was playing clips of Ted Cruz from Glenn Beck's show. Even Rush Limbaugh, even Roush was playing Glenn Beck clips. So it wasn't just Glenn Beck's show that said, hey, if Ted wins Nebraska, he's getting back in the race. Oh, no. It was CNN, it was MSNBC, it was Fox, it was Limbu. It was Breitbart News, it was The Hill, The Daily Caller, that little J.O. Ben Shapiro. Everybody was saying, if Cruz wins Nebraska, he's going to get back in. Cruz wins Nebraska, he's going to, yeah. Well, guess what? There's just not that many people that love Ted Cruz. He got 18% in Nebraska. If he would have had a strong showing, because let's face it, he didn't even have to win. If it would have been close, then the Never Trump movement was alive and well. The theory that all these people are not going to get behind Trump because there's so many people that hate him. Bunk. It's bunk. It's bunk. It's all bunk. It's all bunk. And you could go and look at the exit polls when they ask people questions. Well, do you favor this? And what do you think about Donald Trump on that? And you could try to pick apart all those things and go, see, people still don't like Trump. They still haven't. Well, guess what? They still voted for him, stupid. All right? They still voted for him, you dummy. Sorry. Sorry to break that down to you. So this notion that the Republican Party is so fractured and so split is BS. The people that actually matter, which are the voters, are not split. They're not fractured. The Republican elites? Yeah. Establishment? Yeah. Sure, they're fractured. But do they really matter? The pundits, they're fractured, but do they really matter? Does it matter that Anna Navarro does it matter that she doesn't like Trump? Does it matter that Bill Kristol doesn't like Trump? Does it matter that George Will doesn't like? Does that matter? Seriously, does that matter? Who the F are they? Who the F are they? I mean, if this election cycle has shown us anything, it's that none of these people matter. Because they all had their favorites, and every single one of them touted who they wanted. When they would be on the panel, you know, the panel of experts, as Wolf Blitzer and Don Lemon like to call them. And now we turn to our panel of experts. This is Kevin Madden. He ran the Mitt Romney campaign in 2008, 2012. He's an expert. He's an expert in losing. They're all losers. These Anna Navarre. You know what political pundits are? Aside from Axelrod and the other one up there, who is it? Paul Begala. Aside from those two, all the other pundits are losers. Seriously, they're losers. Donna Brazile. Did you ever look at her credentials? Every campaign she worked on were losers. Al Gore, loser. I mean, it's just a list of just losers. So these people's opinion don't matter. The party is fractured. The Republican Party is fractured. No, it's not. It's not. Absolutely not. When Trump wins in West Virginia with 76-77%, and the people that despise Trump could have came out and said, you know what, we're going to really make a statement. We're not going to vote for him. We're going to make a big, big statement. Nebraska. Over 62% of the people vote for Trump. And that was a Ted Cruz state. Trump got 109,000 votes. Cruz got 35,000. Kasich got 22. That means at some point, Cruz was over 100,000 votes. Think about it. If Trump won Nebraska with 109,000 votes. And about 3-4 weeks ago, Cruz was up in Nebraska. That means Cruz had 119,000 votes, 120,000 votes. That means about 80,000 people, 80,000 people left Cruz and went to Trump. If you're going to say what all the experts and all the pollsters were saying about Nebraska, is no never Trump movement amongst the voters. You have a certain section of voters who liked John Kasich. You had a certain section of voters who liked Ted Cruz. And then you had a huge section of voters who liked Donald Trump. And every single one of these people's supporters are passionate. And there is no, oh, I'll vote for him, but then I'll vote for her, and then I'll vote for it, and then I'll switch. It's not how it works. You go with your candidate until the end. You go with your candidate until the end. Once it's done, and you go to the general, you go with the next person, team. That's how passion, that's how these things operate. It's not that hard to understand. It really isn't. It's not that hard to understand. I know the establishment and the pundits want to make it a lot more sophisticated than what we're talking about here, but it's not. So that was the Republican outcomes. And then just a little quick talk on the Democrat side. Bernie won West Virginia, which is kind of amusing because Hillary won West Virginia in 2008, and she won it big. 2008, she beat Obama by something like 35, 36 points in West Virginia. And here, 7-8 years later, she loses to Bernie Sanders by, 15 points. I mean, people really don't like Hillary. I mean, Democrats really don't like her. It's like they go with her as a last choice. They go with her as a last choice. It's like that. What do you want to do tonight with your girl, your guy, a date, whatever? What do you want to do tonight? Well, you want to go to the movies? You want to go eat at Round Table Pizza? And it's like, well, let's plan for this. Let's plan for that. And if this doesn't work out or that doesn't work out, we'll go to Denny's. All right. It's like the last, it's like that last choice. Hillary's that last choice. In 08, Democrats could have had Hillary. They could have had the first woman. And they were like, ugh. if we got to have the first woman, we'll take it. But if we just anybody, the black guy. Okay, the black guy with the terrorist middle name. Yeah. Yep, let's. They're like, yeah, let's. Him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, are you sure? Yeah. Yeah. Something happens to him. Should he, fall in a manhole or get bit by a king cobra and die when he's trying to take himself to the hospital, then we'll go with her. But we're gonna go with the black guy, the young black guy with the terrorist middle name. Mm-hmm. Let's go with him. Okay. And here we are 7-8 years later. The Democrats are like, okay, we'll go with her again, but just give just anybody. Oh, all right. This really old, this old Jewish guy who's a socialist. Yeah. The guy who sounds like Jackie Mason. Guy who sounds like Jackie Mason and looks like Larry David. Okay, we want him. Are you sure? Yes. Are you sure? Mm-hmm. Okay. But we'll go with we'll go with her if we have to. So last night, Bernie won West Virginia. Now, he lost Nebraska, but he won West Virginia. Now, here's the thing, and I want to get on the Bernie narrative, but I have to come to Hillary's defense, because here's the thing. And I heard a Bernie supporter talking about this, and in theory, she's correct. In theory, she's correct, but you're not going to win any argument without having the popular vote in your favor. So the Bernie supporter, the Bernie surrogate, was talking about the superdelegates. And yes, the superdelegates are put in place to make sure a Bernie Sanders doesn't win the nomination. Kind of like the whole delegate Ricearoni thing on the Republican side. But here's the big difference when you're talking about a rigged system and so forth and so on. On the Republican side, Trump had the popular vote. Trump was able to say, hey, look, I've got 3 million more votes than this person. I have 6 million more votes than that person. I have 8 million more votes than that person. You can't deny me the nomination because I don't have the required delegates, because these people who are mathematically eliminated will not get out. And if you take the nomination from me, in this Ponzi scheme, you're going to alienate millions and millions of voters, more voters than these other candidates have for them. Now, on the Democrat side, Hillary Clinton has the million more voters. She's got the popular vote on her side. So when the Bernie surrogate says, if the superdelegates were forced to go with the candidate of the state they won, the delegate math would be a lot closer. And she's right. but the popular vote would still be in Hillary's favor. End of story. And I know it's not about the popular vote. I know the system is set up the way it is on the Democrat side and the Republican side. But still, if you're going to play games, you got to have the popular vote on your side. You still do. You still do. Sure, we were able to get away with it back in 2000. We were able to get away with somebody losing the popular vote but winning the presidency in 2000. But 16 years later, it ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. It's just absolutely not going to happen. So Bernie needs to get the popular vote on his side to win this argument. Needs to go from West Virginia, lost in Nebraska, but end it in California, and get that popular vote total to either be even or close to being even, give or take 100,000 votes. Or he needs to overtake her. But all these wins really mean nothing if he's still behind in the popular vote. So that's the takeaway. And I'd love to pile on Hillary. Not a big Hillary fan. I'd love to just pound her. Just pound her. But, hey, it's about the will of the people. And the will of the people are with Hillary. That's the thing that everybody seems to forget. When they talk about Bernie's wins and it's 20 wins or 30 wins and blah, 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 whatever the hell it is. Look at the massive crowds. But Hillary still has the popular vote. It's about the popular vote. At the end of the day, it's about the popular vote. That's it. End of story. So, yeah, I'd love to pound her. And I'd love to beat the hell out of her like all the people are doing now. But in this aspect, no, can't. She's winning the popular vote. Now, let's pound her on emails. Let's pound her on Clinton cash. Let's pound her on being an enabler. Let's do it. Let's just whack-a-mole. Just get that mallet out and pound and pound and pound. But on this, can't pound her. She's winning the popular vote. End of story. So, move on. It's Rob Zicari's show. There's my election coverage breakdown. That's it. That's the breakdown. And I'm the only show that's going to break down these election nights the way they need to be broken down. Seriously. When you listen to CNN, you listen to Glenn Beck, you listen to all these other a-holes, they're going to give you some type of biased spin. Not me. Oh, no. Not me. Not the Rob Zicari Show.